We have to set out 10 and 7 through 17 so that we can begin to understand what happens in verses 1 through the rest of the chapter. We're going to find in another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because in 2 weeks it's Mother's Day. And so I won't preach on this on Mother's Day. Okay, next week George will be here. So 3 weeks from now, we'll be looking at this portion of Scripture. And this is an interesting portion of Scripture because he talks about the kingdom of God. And he speaks of the idea in verse number 11, as you look down there, it's be given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, we'll talk about that in just a moment, but the concept here is the fact that Jesus came and he said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said the kingdom of God is like, and in the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke about the kingdom of God, and he was very, very clear and very, very plain about what the kingdom of God was. So the question needs to be asked at this point, then why all of a sudden when he was so clear in his early ministry about the kingdom of God, that all of a sudden now he speaks at this time in his ministry, at least over halfway through his ministry at this point, the 3 years, that he says now there's a mystery. Well, the mystery we'll find out in probably another couple of weeks or 3 weeks is the idea of the church age, the age of what we call grace, an unfolding and an unveiling of a time period that we'll see from the book of Zechariah, an Old Testament prophecy, that fills a gap from the first coming of Jesus Christ to this earth and his second coming. And what he begins to do here at this point is what Jesus is doing at this point is he's talking about this kingdom, this different kingdom, because he came as a king. And as he came as a king, they rejected him as a king. So as we look at this today, we find all of a sudden a question is asked. And we find in verse number 3 it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables. You go down to verse number 10, and the disciples came to him and said to this question, it's the first time this is asked, why are you speaking in parables? And to understand the rest of everything that happens in chapter 13, we first must understand why he decides to speak in parables. And so as we look at this here today, and we see this here, we find there are parables. Okay, that's pretty obvious. There are parables. Why are you speaking in parables? And I had on your outline there a thought about it. What is a parable? As you look at the idea of a parable, an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. Some of you have heard probably in the past, they use it, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Not everything is dealing with heaven, but everything is spiritual. And what a parable happens to be is that Jesus takes things around them, and he all of a sudden he says, okay, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the first parable there that we read this morning about the sower and the seed. Everybody in that civilization at that time, because it was agrarian in nature, would know about the idea of planting seed. You know, this time of the year, we kind of look and wait for the farmers to plow their fields, and you see that dirt turned over, and all of a sudden the seagulls are following every tractor that's running around the area here, getting the worms out of the ground and stuff like that. They're getting ready to plant, and we know a little bit about planting. This time of the year, we watch the fruit farmers, and they're getting their orchards ready. Everybody's watching the blossoms and stuff, getting ready to come. I'm hoping that when we get back from Pennsylvania, it'll be just about that time for them to pop. All right, Mother's Day is what they're looking for, so we'll see. But with this idea here, he talks about this for a moment, and then he goes on, and an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. Literally, the word itself means to place alongside something else. To place alongside something else. Parabola. And what a parable is taking that story of life and living, if you want to say, and placing it alongside spiritual truth so that there are people who have a sense of God's Spirit within them that will read that, they'll look at it, they'll begin to question it, and all of a sudden, it begins to make sense. But there are those who don't have that desire in their heart, and so when they do read it, they're going to look at it and say, this makes no sense to me. put it down, and walk away. And Christ has come to that moment in his teaching. And as I put down here on your outline this morning, we'll get into it here now. Let's go to the next thought here. There is a change of plans. There is a change of plans. What was going on at this time was Jesus Christ, when he was teaching, he used a lot of ideas that people could hang on to. He went from analogies to parables. Now, what do you mean by that? As he was teaching, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, all of a sudden, we sit there and say, "Okay, what about salt?" Well, salt purifies, salt preserves. And we start to think about that when he says, "You're the salt of the earth." He would talk to people, and those analogies that he would make, people could kind of wrap their minds around very quickly. If you are the light of the world, well, people knew about that. Candles, and you know, you don't take a candle, you don't take a lampstand, and you don't put something over it because nobody sees it. And people could take those analogies, and they could reason through in their minds and stop and see the truth that was coming from those. But as we find Christ's ministry, and if you remember in chapter 12, and we talked about this the other few weeks back now, in the idea of Jesus Christ, remember, he healed a demonic man who was deaf and who was dumb and couldn't walk, and he healed him, and at that moment, what did the spiritual leaders say to Jesus? Remember? You do this by Satan's power. You do this by Satan's power. And at that moment, as we study the New Testament and we study out the Scriptures and we study the Gospels, at that time, with that declaration, it becomes apparent that Jesus begins to start to teach with parables. Why? Because he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And from that moment on, when the Jewish nation, not all of them, but when the Jewish nation and its leadership as a whole rejected who Jesus was, as we said before, they kind of sealed their fate. They had seen a miracle. They had seen miracles. The dead were raised. Hundreds of thousands were healed. And I say hundreds of thousands. You know, there was a few million people in Israel at that time. And so Christ, everywhere he went, he healed them all, the Scripture tells us. So he goes into a village and people come, and healing after healing after healing after healing. And things are happening in a miraculous way. And yet when we get to this very point that all of a sudden the leadership is there and he heals this person, they say he only does it because he does it with Satan's power. At that point, Christ draws a line, and he drew his line in the sand, if you want to say it that way. And that's when he began to change in the way he was teaching. And as he began to change in the way he was teaching, all of a sudden we find that there seems to be a division. That there are some who listen and they kind of scratch your head. And we see in this portion of Scripture here that after he told the story of the parable of the seed and the sowers, then he steps in and he says, "I'm going to tell you, I'm going to teach in parables right now." And then after that, the disciples come and say, "Lord, what's all of this mean? If you don't understand all the things of the Bible, doesn't mean you're not one of his. It means you need to ask questions. It means you got to do your research. It means you got to do your digging. It means you got to do your homework." And that's what Christ is doing, because at this point, the disciples come to him. He says, "Tell us about the parable. What does this really mean?" And the Lord begins to explain it, and they go, "Ah, that makes sense." So he goes from analogies, which were very easy to deal with, you know, fishers of men, salt, light, all those types of thoughts that are there. He goes from those analogies now to a story. And with that story that's laid alongside of a spiritual truth, and in this portion of Scripture, the spiritual truth is going to be, what is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? He lays stories beside them that they knew of, and then he would start saying, now how can we make application? So what happens here is what we see taking place as you look at it. There is a change of plan from reveal to conceal. From reveal to conceal. Let's look at this now here this morning and look at this in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. There comes a point in time, as we shared from the time in the past, is they were listening, but they weren't hearing. And we'll see that in just a few moments. They were seeing, but they weren't getting what was going on. What are you listening for? What are you and I listening for in this day and age? That's a question that sometimes people... The story told by Chuck Swindoll one time of two guys walking in New York City. And as they were walking in New York City, one was a Native American and one was a New Yorker. And they're walking through Times Square, and you're walking through Times Square and all the noise and everything that's going on around there and the cars and the honking and all that happens. And all of a sudden, the Native American says, I hear a cricket. And the guy goes, there's no way you hear a cricket. He goes, I hear a cricket. And he starts to cross the street and go around, and all of a sudden, as he says, I hear this cricket. And this guy from New York says, there is no cricket in this Times Square. He says, I hear a cricket. And he went to a spot, and there was a planter that had a tree in it, had mulch in it. And he went into that mulch, and he picked up a cricket. And the guy from New York that lived in the city said, how did you hear that? He says, it all depends on what you're listening for. And so it is with Jesus. And it all depends on what we're listening for. I've done some, don't hold against me. Some of you say, that's great. Some of you say, oh, dear. I do some bow hunting. Do some deer hunting. If you're a bow hunter, to me, it's the most beautiful time of the year in northern Michigan. It's fall, October 1st through November 15th. It's the most beautiful time to be in the woods in northern Michigan. And I love being out there when I can be there. And particularly, you get one of those 50-degree days. The sun is shining. It's not rained for a couple of days. And all of a sudden, the leaves are dry. And as you're in the woods there, and you're sitting in your deer stand now, just being very, very quiet and hoping that Bambi comes. No, not Bambi. Okay. But a deer comes walking up to you, all right? And you're sitting there and you're listening. And it's just like, wow, and there's birds flying around, you know, and they land on my boot, and the chickadees land on my boot. And I'm like, man, that is so cool. And I see this hawk come down, wham, and grab this fox squirrel. You know, yeah, man, this hawk now has supper, you know, a fox squirrel. And I'm glad he did, because, you know, when you're sitting in a deer stand like that and there's a lot of leaves around, all of a sudden you hear this chick. And you go, and you got to be still, and you got to be quiet. Is it a deer or is it a squirrel? And you turn around and say, it's a squirrel. Ugh. And they drive you. What are you listening? We're listening for a deer. But you hear that noise, and you all of a sudden you think, but then you all of a sudden you hear this. And you go, ah. It's all what you're listening for. And, you know, I do it just for the fun of it. I've shot very few deer with a bow and arrow, but I've enjoyed it. Enjoy being in the woods, being up in the sand and just listening and watching God's creation. And as you stop, it's all, what are we listening for? And I'm in the woods, I'm listening to hear, is that telltale sign of a deer and not a squirrel? You know, and then you hear the, and it's an old porcupine just dragging himself through the woods, you know. So you sit there and watch the porky go for a while, you know, and, okay. You know, but what are you listening for? And with a parable, what are we trying to hear? What are we trying to see? And Jesus began to draw a line. And he began to stop so much of the revelation and began to conceal from people they weren't listening for the right thing. And so he starts to change this plan. And as you see this in verse number 12, it says, For whoever hath to him shall be given, and he that shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he hath. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to take this ministry and he begins to start to pull apart people. And he does it through the teaching of parables. And when I say pull apart, those who really seem to desire it and want it, and those who make this show, but in all reality, it's not happening. It's not happening. And when we see this taking place here and see what's happening, what does that verse tell us here? And to him that shall be given, he shall have even more abundance. Acceptance increases light. Acceptance increases light. What the light, when we use the idea here, there's an analogy. Light and darkness. But the acceptance of what Jesus was saying, the acceptance by you and I of what Jesus was saying does what? It increases more understanding. It increases more light in our lives. When you and I sit down and we say, you know, to the Lord, I follow you, I trust you, I believe you, I obey you, and we start to read the Bible and we say, oh man, that's a tough portion. I'm not quite sure what that means. And we start to dig and we start to ask questions. And I, you know, there are times that people in this room here have called me and said, hey, Pastor, I'm reading this and it doesn't make sense. Oh, I love that. So if you want to keep, you know, you people, do it. I love that when people ask me those questions. I sit there with my computer, and I, a lot of times the answers are there. Sometimes it's not. I got to dig myself sometimes. That's what the body's about. And to all of a sudden say, it doesn't make a lot of sense. How does that make sense? And begin to reveal to you, now it happens. Now I understand. Now it makes sense. That's the good thing. But some people, I would be kind of concerned if somebody called me and I said, here's what it means. Doesn't make any sense. Well, here's what this means. And try to explain. Doesn't make any sense. I would begin to step back and start to say, maybe there's not that light that needs to be there initially. That first contact with Jesus Christ. Because what's happening is Jesus is saying at this point, they said, no, you are demon-possessed, your power comes from Satan, and Jesus steps back, and he begins to say, okay, this, and he begins to take his teaching in a different direction, because some have drawn a line in the sand themselves and saying, we will not believe. So acceptance increases light, as rejecting increases darkness. Rejecting increases darkness. As we find what's happening here, he says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever has shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore, that's why I speak in parables. Because seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And when we find this here, this concealing here at this point, the question is, what are we listening for? Do we want to know more about Jesus, or do we want to know what we want to know about Jesus? What we want to interpret about Jesus? Do we want to take the book and say, okay, what's the book say? And what the book says, I'll follow. Or do we stop and say, well, I like what the book says here, but over here, I don't know about that one. So I'm not going to follow that. Or are we just saying whatever the book says is that's what we'll do? And then he says this. And when he says this, and you have been given to know the mysteries. Now, we think of a mystery and we think, okay, a whodunit type thing. You know, who killed who? And, you know, we have the game Clue. How many ever played the game Clue? Oh, yeah, you know, whodunit. You know, that's always fun to figure out who did it. You know, find out the clues and put it together, whodunit. But this is not exactly what they were talking about. When Jesus used the word mystery, it was a hidden truth as being revealed, but in their mindset, it was a hidden truth because of those who are initiated. What do I mean? They had orders and societies at that time. They had beliefs and they had worship at that time that said, the more you know, you can be initiated into a higher level of understanding. Now, when I say something like that, your minds ought to begin to click. Because there are groups like that even today in our world. Freemasonry. And I don't know who or anybody would be a Mason here. I hope not. But if you are, why do I say that? Because under Freemasonry, there's levels and levels and levels and levels. And the higher you go, the more you're initiated into secret truths of Freemasonry. Not for everybody to know. And there are people who have come out of that, who accepted Christ as a Savior and tried to expose some of the thoughts and some of the ideas that are found. Other ideas, if I said the Klan, KKK, secret societies. How about Skull and Bones? Say, Skull and Bones? Yeah, that's Yale. Yale has this intellectual group that's called Skull and Bones, and you're initiated into this secret society. The Illuminati. Here was a secret society in regards to, we always think, oh, just a bunch of crooks, but the Mafia. And people that got higher and higher in the Mafia were entitled to more and more thoughts or ideas. The Jesuits. If you study out Catholic Church history, the Jesuits were a secret society, almost like the NSA in our government in regards to Catholicism. And you only got into those places initially with being invited, and then the higher you went, the more you became initiated into knowing these secrets. And when Jesus told the disciples here, he says, "When to you has been given to know the mysteries," he was beginning to tell them, he says, there's things about me that I'm going to tell to everybody. I'm not going to hide anything. You're going to get it, and they're not. Because they have already closed their minds down to the truth. And so there's a change of plan, there's a change of teaching in regards to Jesus Christ at this point, but we see number two here, there's also a fulfilled prophecy, a fulfilled prophecy. As Jesus is here and speaking to the people in verses 14 and 15, and he says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross," or it's dull, "and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." That sounds like Sunday morning church. Meditating. Okay. "And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now, that's a quote from Isaiah. Now, I shared with you before, when Jesus begins to teach and he starts to talk about prophecy, we better step back and take a note of that. Why? Because it adds validity, reliability, and credibility to the Word of God. I want you to do something with me this morning in regards to that. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Let's turn back there, and I want you to follow through with me here this morning a few things. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going too far. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, that's a pretty interesting chapter. Because it's in Isaiah chapter 6 is what we begin to find here, is we find that great portion of Scripture where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that King Uzziah died, in chapter 6 and verse number 1, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And he says, "I saw the angels, and an antiphonal choir, they sang, holy, and they were answered by this one over here, holy, and they were answered, holy, and in an antiphonal choir, they were back and forth singing, holy, holy, holy to one another." Kind of like, you know what? I think one of these days when we get to heaven, we'll be singing, "Holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And we'll sing it antiphonally back and forth to one another. And we'll sing it in unison, and we'll sing it in parts, and it'll just be harmonious, and it'll be so neat to hear. But they already sang it. And they were singing, and Isaiah said, "I saw that." And then I said, and he says, and I said, "Oh, okay, Lord, what's going on? Oh, man, I'm an unclean guy." And he takes a coal off the altar, and he touches my mouth, and he cleans my lips. And he says, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And as he does that, through the first portion there, then verse 9, we find here he says, "And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and they hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. And all of a sudden, some say, wow, that's kind of mean of God. Until you stop and realize they have been given chance after chance, year after year, to obey. And finally, God begins to say, they don't want me. And how do I see this? And I want you to follow with me. Let's do this for a little bit here this morning. Let's remember now, Isaiah is writing around 700 BC, okay? From 700 to around 681 BC, all right? So you count that 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah is saying this. 700 years later, Christ says, it's being fulfilled again. Because at this point in Isaiah's life, Isaiah is beginning to talk about, you've rejected me, rejected me, rejected me. And all of a sudden, this is happening here right before the northern kingdom is taken by Assyria in 722. And then in 586, the southern kingdom is taken by Babylon. And so 700 years prior, he says, here's what's happening. And then Jesus says 700 years later, and it's happening again. And it's prophetic. What's happening? Go back to Isaiah chapter 1. We're just going to go through the first part here, just making a couple references at this point to what's happening and why all of a sudden he says, they've got eyes, but no understanding. Ears, no hearing. Why? What was taking place here? Chapter 1 in verse number 2. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Okay? Rebelling against God. He has children in the nation of Israel. Rebels. Okay? I don't want it. I don't want what God has. Look at verse number 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. And what's the Lord say? He says, I don't take any pleasure in your worship anymore. He says, you've been rebels. Number two, you continue to worship me. And it's all a farce. It's all a sham. It's not real. You're just going through the motions. In verse number 15, at the end of that verse, he says, your hands are full of blood, murder, and innocent blood, some of them say. And we'll look at that thought in just a moment here. Look at verse number 23. And I'll read this from the NLT. It says, your leaders are rebels and companions of thieves. All of them love bribes and demand payoffs, and they refuse to defend the cause of the orphans or fight for the rights of the widows. Yet the powerful getting more powerful, and they were neglecting the poor of their society and their civilization and the people around them at that time. And they were just putting them down, and they were taking advantage of them. There was no justice in the land. Go over to chapter 5 and verse number 11. Chapter 5 and verse number 11. Says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, and that they may follow a strong drink, that they continue until night, till the wine is inflaming them. And in the NLT it says, what sorrow for those who get up early in the morning looking for a drink of alcohol and spend long evenings drinking wine to make themselves flaming drunk. They furnish wine and lovely music at their grand parties, lyres and harps and tambourines and flutes, but they never think about the Lord or notice what he is doing. That's from the NLT. Verse 20 of that same chapter. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good, and good is evil, that dark is light, and light is dark, that bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. They've taken justice, and they've taken the decencies of society and turned them on their ear. They turned them upside down. And what used to be decent in society was now called indecent. What is now at that time called indecent, or used to be called indecent, is now called decent. And because of that, God said to Isaiah, I said, I want you to go to these people and talk to them, because I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. Sin has so blinded them that they have drawn their line in the sand, and God says, and I have drawn my line in the sand. And because of that, they went into captivity. Israel in 722. Judah, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem in 586. They call it the great diaspora, the great dispersion, when Babylon came in and finally just wiped out Jerusalem and destroyed the city, just wiped it out. Go to one other verse here, and let me show you something else. I think it's interesting because of what we've been through recently and what's happening. You got the movie Unplanned that's coming into the theater in town here. Go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, just turn over there very quickly. And again, this is Isaiah talking to the nation of Israel. And verse number 5. I'll read this from the NLT again. And he says to them, he says, you're inflaming yourself with idols under every green tree. You sacrifice your children down in the valleys among the jagged rocks in the cliff. Child sacrifice. And because of their child sacrifice, the Lord said, seeing, but they won't see. Hearing, but they won't hear. And let's not forget this. And I'm glad that Joe is bringing the movie Unplanned into Elk Rapids. For us to stop and realize this is something that does get to the heart of God. And when a nation does that and continues to do it, seeing, but they won't see. Hearing, but they won't hear. Nor will they understand. And if God did that to Israel twice, do we think that in America, we're going to get away with it? Mm-mm. No. The same righteous, holy God. The same righteous, holy God. And why do we sense in America, as you look at the statistics and you see what's happening, the greatest statistic that I see that's happening right now is the fact that atheism or agnosticism or those who have nothing to do with God has grown to 23% of the population. Almost one quarter of the population now over the past decade is saying nothing with God whatsoever. No righteousness, no holy. We do whatever we want to do in our own way. And we stop and we think, why is our nation not hearing and seeing? Because we said, God, we don't want you. We don't want you. Now again, as I said before, there are those events that the life of the mother and the health of the child and all those things that are there, we understand the exception, but what are we at? We've always done this. We're the exception. And we focus on the exception and not the general principle. Life is precious in God's sight. And it was precious back then. And because the nation of Israel didn't look at the preciousness of it, God said, hearing they will hear, seeing they will see, and they will not understand. He'll draw the line and it'll be done. Now that does not mean that there is anyone outside of the realm of God's forgiveness. But if we continue and people continue to go in that direction, they will draw the line. And just as Jesus did, he drew a line and said, no more analogies. Now it's parables. Now it's parables. And so when you stop and you see what's happening here, I put that down, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. That's what's there. But I wanted to show that to you and understand then there is fulfilled prophecy. And the fulfilled prophecy was based upon what? They will hear and they will hear but not hear. They will see, not see. They will not understand. Based upon what? Judgment. Based upon judgment. Because of their sin that they would not repent of, God said, I have to judge. I am a holy, righteous God. Take that one issue. They slaughtered their children under the clefts and in the valley, sacrificed their children. Well, who made that child? Psalm 139, God says, I knit you together in the womb. And what's mankind say? We'll undo the unknitting. And the fulfilled prophecy that happened in Isaiah's time was based upon a fact that God had to judge the people because they would not follow him. What happened in Jesus' time? He's demon-possessed. Judgment. Judgment. And he spoke in parables. Judgment yet today? We have to be aware of what our Lord has to say and what he's saying here. You know, it's not about our intellect either. It's about our revelation. You know, what we hear about God and we read the scriptures and we begin to say, wow, what's going on there? And the Lord says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, and he will guide you into all truth. Illumination and revelation by the Holy Spirit that helps us to know and to understand. The kingdom of heaven is like, and then he says, I'm going to give you the mysteries of the kingdom. What do we find next is Psalm 78 in verse number 2. If you go down to verse number, go back to Matthew now. Go back to Matthew 13. So we'll get you back out of Isaiah and go back to Matthew 13. Down in verse number 34 and 35. We find again in the midst of this whole discourse here, and you know, you look at it here, and there's a householder, and there's a fishing net, and there's a pearl, and there's hidden treasure, and there's wheat, and there's tares, and there's mustard seed, and there's planting of crops on the four different types of soil. And all this is happening in this form of parables. In verse 34 says, and all these things spake Jesus... excuse me, unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, or here it's the psalmist, same thought, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Mankind will continue to reject and reject and reject. And all of a sudden the Lord says, okay, I'm going to teach, but there's only going to be certain people that are going to listen to me and hear me. The rest think they're hearing me, and I have nothing to do with them. Fulfilled prophecy. And he's fulfilling prophecy at that time. It could be happening yet today. And that's why we're going to look at the mysteries of the kingdom in another week. Because all of a sudden, he brought the kingdom. They rejected the kingdom. But he's going to come back again. He came the first time with the kingdom. They rejected the kingdom. He's coming back again. But what about that time period in between? That's what we're going to talk about in parables in another few weeks. It's where we're living right now. And from a prophetic portion of standpoint here in Matthew 13, he talks about where you and I are right at this very moment in the world in which we live and how the kingdom is and what it's up to and what it's doing and things of that sort. And so as we stop and realize here, again, prophecy is very interesting in regards to what's happening here. Psalmist wrote that, you know, further back than Isaiah. And the Lord said, we're just fulfilling prophecy right now. It's just coming to pass. It took 800 years. It took 700 years. It took 800 years. It's happened. Fulfilled prophecy means that prophecies that are yet to come will be fulfilled, hopefully sooner than later. To see Jesus come back, what a joy. Man, to have the rapture take place, and we're out of here. And eye has not seen nor ear heard the things which the Father has prepared for them that love him. Oh, man, we don't have any idea. And as much as we're going to go out this afternoon and say, man, I love the spring temperature and all of this, it has no comparison to what God has got prepared for us in heaven just waiting for us. Man, I tell you, our Jesus. But not only do we see this here, what does he say yet? Number three, there is a blessed privilege. There is a blessed privilege. In Matthew chapter 13, and you go back here to verses 10 through 17 again. But verse 16 and 17, he says, but blessed, Blessed are your eyes, for they do see, and your ears, for they do hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying this to those people right there, disciples at that time, but he's saying that exact same thing to us right now. Why? Because there were those Old Testament prophets and righteous people. And I think it's interesting. We've just been put in good company. Old Testament prophets and righteous people. God looks at us as our own prophets and priests, and he says, be holy, be righteous. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Be righteous. And we're in that same company. He says, you know what? You guys right here, right now, you're seeing things that they wished they could have seen. They heard about it. It was prophesied, but they never saw it. But they didn't let go. They hung on. They believed. He says, here you are now. You've got me in your presence. You've seen and heard of the miracles. You've watched what I've done. And we are further along. And we saw, wow, he went to the cross and he died for our sins. And he rose from the dead. And look what we have. And we are blessed because of where we live at this moment and at this time. But you know what comes with that blessing? Greater accountability. Greater accountability. Remember what Jesus said just a few weeks back? Woe unto you, Capernaum. If the same things had been done in you that would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would, the Nineveh, they would have repented. Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. And because we have a greater accountability and responsibility, there's culpability that's involved with that, but also the responsibility of saying, what are we doing with Jesus? And there is a blessed privilege that we have. And the blessed privilege is, number one, understanding. Understanding. We can take this book and we can study this book. And as we study this book and see what's going on, but blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed are your ears because they hear. We have been given understanding. Now, maybe we don't know all the nuances. And we may not know all the truth. And you may stop, and as I shared with you before, you may read it and begin to say, this doesn't make sense. Guess what? The disciples did the same thing. And verse 18, he says this. Jesus says to the disciples, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. They said, you're teaching parables. Jesus says, okay, let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you. And as he explains it to them, now I know. And when you turn around and you read the Word of God and it's explained to you, or you searched out the Scripture and you found another verse that says, now it makes sense. You've got eyes to see. You've got ears to hear. You are blessed by God because you have been given understanding. And also, you've been given reality. What do I mean by that? He says here, there were those who were hoping. They longed to see what you saw. They longed to hear what you heard. And they looked and they never got it. They never got it in regards to the fact that they believed, but they never had a chance to see it actually in action. We come over here to this side of the cross, and he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, hey, here's the reality of it all. You don't have to stop and think, maybe, no, there it is, there's Jesus. So I heard about Jesus, read about Jesus, there's the cross, there's the grave, there's the Holy Spirit, there are people that are accepting him. Now, is there something that's out here yet? Yeah, there's something out here that I'm still looking for, called the rapture of the church. When's it going to happen? And looking forward to that. But you know what? You and I stand in a place right now that we look back, and the reality of what was prophesied, we see it. What should that do for your faith and my faith? Wow. This is real. And the fact that you can still see it and understand it is the fact that you are one of His. What a blessing. What a blessing. And when we stop and think about this reality, and you stop and say, okay, well, what's this mean to me tomorrow morning? The blessedness of knowing what you have been given because of what God has given us should encourage you tomorrow morning. You sit down with your Bible tomorrow morning and you read something from the Scriptures, you go, oh, wow, that's neat. What a blessing. What a blessing. What we understand, it takes some effort, it takes some digging, it takes some work, but all of a sudden, it makes sense now. How does the book of Zechariah tie into the book of Matthew in verse 13, or chapter 13, and then where we live now? Well, you got to come back in a few weeks and you'll find out. Okay? You can hear. They can see. Why? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. What a blessing. God has given you His Spirit. And you see things and you hear things and you start to make connections with the Word of God and say, yeah, I remember what the Bible said about that. And here's the way society's acting right now and what they're doing. Well, it makes sense. But also there's a responsibility. When you and I go tomorrow, there's a responsibility with what God has given us. What are we doing with it? How are we handling it? And what are we doing with those thoughts that God has brought to our mind? The things that you read from devotionals and things of that sort, and I was like, wow, I never saw it that way before. Oh, man, that's a blessing. A blessing. And so when you and I are here and stop and think about this, this idea of teaching with parables, revealing to concealing. Why? Because you and I, or people around us, can get to a point that they will continue to reject the truth they've heard, continue to reject the truth they heard, continue to reject the truth they've heard, and God will stop and He will say, that's it. That's it. But there are us who can also hear and go, man, I like that. He says, here, let me give you a little more light. Turn the light up a little bit more. Because so you're going from incandescent to LEDs. It's getting brighter all the time. Okay? Why? Because God is revealing these things to you. And you and I, because of where we live at this time in world history, can look and see things that people wish they could have seen. And because we can see those things, we go, wow, what a God. What a God. What a Savior. And He says, and What are you doing with that information? What are you doing with that information? And so as Jesus is here and He's talking, He began to teach in parables. We need to understand that before we get to the parables. There will be some people who will reject them because it doesn't make sense. Maybe the line has been drawn. We don't know. We don't know. So I guess the question is, what am I seeing and what am I hearing? What am I seeing and what am I hearing? And as we stop, and blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And today, that's the question for all of us. What are we doing with Jesus? And what we know about Jesus, and what He has taught us, and what we are learning about Him. And this, as a message, is neat as a message, but it carries a real sense of burden, because if you are hearing and you're not responding, you are moving in a direction that maybe one day you'll never be able to hear again. And that's scary. But that's truth. Not my truth. God's truth. God's truth. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Believe that He is the only way to heaven. Believe that He died for your sins. Believe that He rose again on the third day, giving you and I hope. That's belief. That's seeing. That's hearing. And then all the rest just keeps coming and adding on and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this day. And we thank You for Your word. And I thank You, Lord, for the warnings You give us and yet the blessings that are found in the midst of those warnings. And Father, we come to you this day just thanking you for what's been recorded so that we might know. Lord, my prayer for this group of people is that we all know the blessing of salvation. And realizing that truth in itself allows the light to be continued to be revealed in our hearts and our lives to understand more and more of the holy presence and character and love and compassion and kindness and justice of the God and Savior that we serve. Maybe there's someone yet, Lord, that needs to respond this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Do you know that you have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for you? Have you received him as your Savior? And you say, I'm not sure. We want to make sure that you're sure. That's why we're here. And if you say, I want to be sure, put your hand up, put it down. We'll notice it. We'll talk to you afterwards. Believers today, what have we been given? What blessed privilege has been afforded us because of where we live right now at this moment in history? And Jesus said, you are blessed. You are blessed. Thank him for that in your heart right now, that you can see and that you can hear and say, I want to see more. I want to hear more. And so, Father, thank you for our Savior and the life that he lived. May we have a desire to know more of you each and every day. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.